Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Scripture this evening is found in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and afterward we'll read the Nicene Creed. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them, small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. So far we read God's holy word. We now will make confession with the Church of all ages in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear congregation, as we reflect upon what we have heard and seen this morning regarding this covenant of grace which God has made and that he will fulfill, because it is an everlasting covenant, it is a covenant which is sure and ordered in all things, then I think as we meditate this evening upon the days ahead to which he calls us to live in, then we have sufficient cause to say by faith with David that his way is perfect, his path that he will lead us is good, perfect. Now, we know that the path that each of us will travel in the days to come may not be smooth, may not be as straight as we think it ought to be. There may indeed be turns in the road that we are not anticipating, not expecting. We may meet with obstacles upon this path that God will lead us. We may even, of our own sin, set up obstacles upon our way that we cannot seem to get around. But if we're living in God's way and in God's path, then we may know with certainty it is perfect, because it is an ordered way according to this covenant of grace we have seen this morning, and it is a way that leads unto eternal life, to be forever with the Lord. And this is what David had come to realize as well. And it's something of that we want to consider with you tonight. From 2 Samuel chapter 22. We said last time, this is indeed a similar psalm, perhaps though written at a different time. We want to consider the words of verses 28 through 33. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but mine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. We want to see the theme of living in God's path with two thoughts. First, we want to see this path as a path of deliverance, of light, and of power. And secondly, we want to consider it as a perfect path. Living in God's path, a path of deliverance, of light, and power. And secondly, a perfect path. Dear congregation, children, we all know what a path is, what a road is, what the way is. When we are younger, perhaps we have taken the beaten trails into the woods. We might like to be adventurous, so we even take off the side trails, the bunny trails, and perhaps even have gotten lost before. And we don't know where to turn until we either come upon the main trail again, or perhaps we see some landmark with which we are familiar and it brings us back again into the way of the path. Because in the way of the path, there is security. There is a measure of comfort. It's much like driving a car. If we know where we're going and we have been there before, we know the signposts along the way, it's very comfortable driving in that situation. But if we are unfamiliar and we're on a vacation or on a journey somewhere and we don't really know where we're going, often it is stressful. We are unfamiliar with the way. We can even lose our way. Although today, perhaps that's not so much of a problem, because many cars, you can simply turn on the GPS system and it tells you exactly where you are and exactly where you need to go and how to get out of the trouble that you're in. Now, our lives, many ways in Scripture, is compared to a path that we travel and walk upon. So any time tonight when we speak about this path or this way, think about your own life. You have begun, as you have been born into this world, that's your beginning of your path. And at the end of your path is the last breath you take. Now, upon that path in life, the question really is, where are we headed and where are we traveling? Do we have courage for the days that are before us and whatever the path of our life will lay upon our way? And the question automatically may rise in our minds if we're in a car with a GPS system. There's a reliance upon that when we are getting lost, when we need to know where we're going. Well, what is it in the Christian life, in walking upon God's path, that is our guide, that is our instruction? Well, children, you all know, I am sure, what it is. It is this word of God which He has given to us. That is what God uses by His Spirit. When we are in trouble and we cry out to Him in prayer, it is through His Word that He teaches us and guides us in the way. And that's why David says here too as well. He says, the Word of the Lord is tried. It means, David says, the Word of the Lord is proven. It's been tested. And it's never failed. The saints of old bear testimony that this word which God has given to us is enough. It is sufficient to instruct us in God's way. Now in this passage we are considering tonight, David, we have seen before and in preparatory as well, had come to his last song, or one of the last songs, of deliverance and thanksgiving. We had heard him speak of such moving terms of God and the character of God. And we heard that from Psalm 18 too. God is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my shield, my refuge, my high tower, my Savior. In all these ways, David is extolling. He is remembering how God had delivered him. And now towards the end of the song, we hear him as he recounts the ways in which God indeed has led him upon his path of life. You see, we each have our own path. And this is the path that God had led David. And when he reflects upon this path that God had led him on, one of the things he says is that the afflicted people God will save. David had experienced that. Those who are troubled, tossed with tempest, afflicted, when they cry out to the living God for help and for deliverance, He comes and answers them. He delivers them. He rescues them. He lifts them out of the mire in which they have found themselves, even perhaps which they have placed themselves in, and He saves them. But David says, not so with the haughty, but thine eyes are upon the haughty. What's a haughty one, children? Do you know? That's someone who is proud. He walks with his head up high, perhaps, at least in his own mind, in his own thoughts. He does not need God. He is self-sufficient. He's able to go on his way without God. And to these, David says, God's eye is also upon the haughty, that He might bring them down. Those who are proud and walking lofty, thinking they have no need of God, God brings down. And that can be a mercy of God as well. Because if we are haughty and do not think we need God for our path in life, we are utterly mistaken. Because such a path of life that does not have God as its guide ends in death. And therefore it is a mercy of God, as we have prayed this evening, when He would hedge about our way with thorns and bring even difficulties in our life, trials, sorrows, so that we would learn to call out unto God in all our troubles and lean upon Him. David had experienced as a young shepherd boy, as he was caring for the sheep, when he was doing what his father commanded him. He was not lifted up when Samuel has anointed him. He didn't walk around, children, after that day when Samuel had come and anointed him. You'll be the next king. Well, David was a man after God's own heart already in his youth. He did not broadcast this around to everyone. He was the next king in Israel. No, he went back to his father's sheep. And even when, you remember, he comes to the battlefield where all of Saul and the men of war and his brothers were gathered, and they heard this giant Goliath speaking to them and mocking with the God of Israel. You remember, David came there, and it was not a proud spirit of David that said, well, why hasn't there gone anyone after this man, this uncircumcised Philistine? But he was concerned with the honor of God and God's glory and the name of Israel. And so his brothers really were the ones who were haughty They said, David, who do you think you are? You're coming back from the Father's sheep and you think you're going to do something mighty here against this enemy. But this was not the spirit of David, and he was falsely accused. David humbly trusts in God, and he goes out to meet this giant. And God delivers him. God saves him from the paw of the lion and the bear and the paw of Goliath. And so today, there are those who are proud in their own eyes. Perhaps even those who look upon another one who has confessed faith in Christ. And because of their zeal, as with youthful David, they cast aspersions and they question such young hearts who are zealous for the name and cause of God. Maybe even speak against them. And yet we know it is a poor and afflicted people who trust in God that He delivers and saves. David also had many times in which he was in darkness, where the path that God had set before him was not so clear. God had promised him, you remember, the pathway to the throne to be king in Israel. But that path certainly was not a straight, smooth, easy way. It was through the mountains, being chased like a bird, a partridge. It was being perhaps even betrayed at times of his own friends. David had many times in which he was in darkness and the path before him was not clear. And it seemed perhaps to David that God even had forsaken him. David, you see, children, knew what it was to be dark. Not only outside when there's no light, but as he would enter into some of the caves of that region and perhaps make several turns in the cave. And if you've ever been in a cave, you know how dark it can be. Black. And David knew that. And that's what it seemed at times, even in his own spiritual life. But when the Lord was at his side, even when he was going through darkness, God was his light. Because David knew that God could see in the darkness. God was the light of Israel. God could take away his darkness, and even the times in which he had brought himself into darkness, God would be his light. And David understood that it was especially through the Word that God comes as the light. You remember that text, children, I am sure. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word. That's the light. That gives light in our darkness. And that's what David is confessing here. God is my lamp, my light. And what does he say? He is my lamp. He will lighten my darkness. The darkness David knew. The darkness even that David had brought upon himself because of sin. And you know, if we are walking in the dark, we are prone to many dangers. Even if you know where you're going and you perhaps traveled a certain way and when it was light outside many times, yet when it's dark, there could be something laying in your way. You trip and stumble over it. But especially if it's in unknown territory and you're walking along, you don't know where there might be a cliff over which you would fall. David must have in many years of his life experienced this way of darkness. And yet, he says, the Lord is my light. God is that which illuminates, which makes him safe, even as he may walk in darkness. You know, there are people who can speak of spiritual darkness. And yet, I am afraid, they have never known the light. And therefore we can say, in reality, they don't know darkness either. Though we might speak about our darkness, it is only really that we understand how dark our darkness is when we have seen the light. When we have come to see our sins and our hearts, then we know the depth and the blackness of this darkness of which David is speaking. He confesses it is my darkness. And he confesses that God can and will give His light. And we read that in other Psalms. Listen to several of them. Psalm 36. For with Thee is the fountain of light, life. In Thy light shall we see light. Psalm 43. O send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. For they got no land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But Thy right hand and Thy arm and the light of Thy countenance. Blessed is the people that knoweth the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. You see, what David is saying, this light that he had upon his path of life came from the very countenance of God. You know, when we look at someone in their face, we see their features. We can see who they are. It's the reflection of light that we are able to see who they are. But with God, He produces light. He is light. And when He looks upon us, our way is lit. And we can see because He shows us the way in which He is leading us. And David says, if I say, surely darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. God was His light. Then even when we find our way and our path in our spiritual life to be dark, our only hope and expectation is from the light. That's what Isaiah says in chapter 60. The sun shall no more be the light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. That's the expectation and the hope of the children of God. And this David knew already here, while he walked upon his way in life. Is God your light upon your pathway, your life? Or are you still walking in darkness? There really is no other way. We either walk in darkness and have not seen the light, or we walk with the light, even though we may seem to walk in darkness to ourselves. The light is lighting our path. And it is through the Word of God that He teaches us, that He lightens our path. And though it may become dark in our spiritual life, although we may not seem to have the light we so desire, yet it is through this Word that He comes to lighten our path. It means that in the days to come we may have days of darkness. God has not always promised that this light will be sensible to us. But He has told us He is light. And in Him there is no darkness. And from His countenance and from His face shines light continually upon the path of His people. That is what God has promised this morning. I will be your light. I will illuminate your darkness. I will show you the path I want you to walk upon. And when your way is dark and lonely, then I call to you, God is saying, turn to me, the light, and you will find peace. Maybe there is someone here who has never seen the light. You're still in darkness, still in trouble of soul. Spirit of God comes with His Word and convicts you of sin, and you see its darkness. But then he comes also with the light of the glorious gospel. It radiates from the cross and it illuminates hearts of sinners to show them the path they must travel to lay hold upon Christ, who is our life, who is our light. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to shine in our dark hearts, He does not do this so that we might flee away to destroy us. But this light that He gives to us to discover to us our sin and our darkness, He uses to lead us to the light, to flee to Christ, the true light of the world, and be saved. And as we then grow in grace and faith, this light of God continues to shine, and we learn more and more of Christ, what He is for poor sinners. But David mentions also that it is the strength of God that gives him to run through a troop and to leap over a wall. Now, we must not understand that somehow David is saying something so miraculous has happened. Though it is true, he has witnessed and he has felt in his own heart and in his own path of life, God has helped him. God aided him. God gave him strength here and there and the next place. What David wants to set before us is the common everyday experiences that we have. That the Lord helps, that the Lord guides, that the Lord gives strength for the day and for the task. And the child of God may become discouraged. He may become weary of the battle against sin, as David, no doubt, would at times become weary of the battle against the enemies, which is the figure of sin in the believer. When, as the one of his mighty men, who after he had waged war against the enemies, his sword cleaved to his hand. The children of God can become discouraged and downcast. But David says, it was through God that I was able to run through a troop and to leap over a wall. And David is painting a beautiful picture for us. The picture is that he is going before at the point man of the men who are following him, the point of the wedge to break through the enemy soldiers and to defeat them. Now what David is saying, in every circumstance I have found myself, it is God who delivered me, God who gave me strength so that we could break through and overcome the enemies. These were the obstacles that God had set in our path, but through God we have overcome them. Through there was a troop before us, we have cut through to the enemy and defeated them. And David says, when there was a wall standing before us, standing as an obstacle in our way, we have leapt over the wall. And although, perhaps, in themselves, it was not a miracle that is supernatural, yet it was that God gave him strength every moment again. There was something of the God of grace that was needed by David in these moments. And by it, the grace of God, he prevails. He overcomes. The odds were against him in piercing through this enemy that was before him. And it was no doubt likely true that many a man was killed in trying to cut through the enemy lines. And it was likely true that many a man was not able to scale a wall. But David says, in God's strength, I was able to do it, and I did it. And so it is with the days ahead, on our path, on our way. We will meet with situations that will not be pleasing to our flesh, that will seem as great obstacles. And in our own way of thinking, only God's strength, only God's help will help us to overcome. And another person looking at us may not see even such a thing, may not see a supernatural, against nature even, miracle, that something against nature would even happen, that something would float on the water, a piece of iron, for example. But in these situations that we encounter in our path, these obstacles that God places before us, in our own hearts, we know without Him, we cannot overcome. We cannot prevail. The enemy is too great, is too strong. The temptation is too severe. The hurtling darts of the evil one, too potent. And yet we know, with David we may say, with God I will run through a troop. By my God, I will leap over a wall. While we are often looking, perhaps, for some dramatic, spiritual, powerful experience, yet is it not true that in the daily warp and woof of our spiritual life, God is working out His grace, working out His way, His path, with us daily. Not as we often think of spurts and bursts, but daily His upholding grace. Daily He's leading us by the light of His Word upon our path. And we may see something perhaps today or in the days to come that is, as it seems to us, a huge obstacle, a huge wall. An enemy that is lined up before us. And God does not remove the wall so that David could walk through. God does not strike with lightning the troop that is before David. No. He gives David the courage and the strength to penetrate through the enemy. To leap over the wall. And I ask you, what is it that lays upon your path of your life as a wall, as a troop of the enemy you cannot seem to get through? What is it that keeps you locked in upon your path? What is it that keeps you from witnessing the power of God? Are we afraid of the wall that may surround us and lock us in? Are we running from the obstacle that God has placed upon our path? Or do we move forward, as David did, relying on the strength of God? For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. What do you think, children, if when David was caring for a sheep as a young boy, he saw the lion come and grab one of the sheep and he had run away in terror and fear? And a little while later he would have come there by his brothers and saw Goliath. Would have he acted in the same way? Noah's by this way in which God delivered him day by day that he come to trust more and more in the strength and the power of God. He says in verse 33, God is my strength and power. God was what he needed to overcome all obstacles that lay upon his path. And the power and strength that is needed to overcome any obstacle that lies upon the path God leads us, any temptation that will confront us, the trials that may come our way. God has promised this morning His strength and His power. Then we may say with David, who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is a shield to all those that trust Him. When we are walking in God's way, in the way in which He has set before us in the Word, following in the way of His commandments, following in the way of His testimony. We are walking in God's way. He has said He would be a shield around us. He is the rock upon which we will stand, and He will protect us and give us strength to overcome the obstacle. And so David could say, as for God, His way is perfect. He makes my way perfect. And that brings us to our second thought, a perfect path. Our life is a path. Our way. And the question we need to ask ourselves before we consider our second thought is important. And this is the question. Upon which path, which way are you traveling? We know that Jesus, toward the end of His Sermon on the Mount, has said there is but two paths. There is the broad way, which has a broad gate that enters in upon the way. That path, we know, leads to destruction. And then there is the narrow gate that leads to the narrow way, which leads unto life. And Jesus has said unto us in that sermon, He has said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." We are to seek to enter into this way. By nature, we're born upon the broad way. We are traveling upon that broad way that leads to destruction. And we need to enter in at the straight gate and upon the narrow path. There are times when those who have entered in upon the narrow gate, when they live their lives, find that this path seems contrary. Seems opposite, seems wrong. It seems difficult to their flesh. There are times when God leads His people on the narrow path that leads to life through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times when they are confronted upon this path with such temptations that they wonder if they are on the right path. There are times when the path seems to take such a turn to the natural reasoning of our minds, it doesn't seem to fit the narrow path that God has set before us in His Word. And when we find so many, perhaps, obstacles upon the path, we wonder if we're on the way. And then we must ask ourselves the question, what do we do when we find these our questions? When we find obstacles, when we find thorn bushes, trials, pains, sorrows, self-denials necessary? Do we ignore them? Do we try to find our way of life around them in our own strength and get on with life, get over the trial? Do we try to push them aside when the very purpose of God is often to hedge about our way with thorns so that we call out to Him for help and strength? We cannot find our way in life, our path, by ourselves. And that's why He says, commit your way, your path, to God. Surrender your life into His hands. There are many who are dealt a blow by God's providence. Perhaps a loss of business. Perhaps loss of loved one. And rather than being humbled by it, a person can become bitter and even angry. Upon which path are you traveling? There seems to be a path, even when we are walking upon our path of life, that may seem to be right. But in the end, we are bitterly disappointed. There are times when even the child of God who is in the narrow way, like a lost sheep, goes his own way off the path. David had those times too. Several, in fact, major sins he fell into. And he had to learn the lesson of God. There is darkness off the path. There is suffering off the path. There is danger off the path. He left the path of God's Word. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And he left the path. You shall commit no murder. Send for Uriah. You shall trust in the Lord your God. Number the people. The path of God was clear in His Word. But David chose another path. A seeming, perhaps at the time, a smooth path. A beautiful woman. A way to end all of the talk and troubles. Send Uriah to the forefront of the battle. But David learned sorrowful, bitter lessons of leaving the path God set before him. That will be the end of the path we take also when we leave the path of God's Word. Children, I'm sure you remember that story in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian and I believe Hopeful were walking down a path, and it was rough and it was perhaps not smooth to walk on and not easy on their feet. And they saw right next to them over the side of the fence a green meadow, a plain, smooth path. And so, even though the sign said not to, they jumped over the fence and began walking in the green meadow, talking together. And before they knew it, there comes the giant. And he puts them in the castle of despair, of unbelief. Doubting castle. They had tried to take an easier path. They thought it would have been better. But they had determined to take their own way for their flesh when God had said, this was the way. And so that is with us and includes everyone here. When we walk contrary to the path that we know God has set before us in the Word, and we need to study this Word, we know the path God calls us to, the straight and the narrow, the way according to His Word and commandments, the way of repentance and faith. When we walk contrary to this path, it leads to death, it leads to heartache, it leads to pain and sorrow. And even though we might encounter some of those things upon the pathway of God and the way He leads us, yet when we are walking on His path, the eye of faith looks higher than the obstacles with which we meet. And it sees that the path God sets before us is perfect. It is really a judgment of God that when we are not walking in the narrow way, and we have started aside to our own paths, that we do not find trouble and thorns and briars. Because it could mean indeed God leaves us to ourselves. Enjoy your sin. Enjoy your unbelief. Enjoy this world. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Proverbs says the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. When David chose his own path, he walked contrary to God and he suffered for it. But the faithfulness of God was, he brings David back to his path. And that way is what David says. His way is perfect. He could learn to say that no matter what God did and had brought him to this point in his life, as he looks back, he sees it is all perfect. And you see, that's one thing to be able to say with our mouth. God's way is perfect. But it's quite another to live it. Because if God brings upon our path some trial, sorrow, pain that we have never felt before, that hits our innermost being. If He allows us perhaps to be severely tempted, if He takes away a loved one, takes away our health, then you can say, and I can say immediately, God's way is perfect. Oh, we learn then by nature our hearts want a different way. We want a different path. But God wants to bring us upon this path that He is holding with us today. And though it be a difficult path, He wants our eyes to be fixed upon Him. By nature, we want to see the path laid out perfectly before us. We want to see every bend in the road and every cobblestone and every rock upon the way and every obstacle we will have to overcome before we enter upon it. Sometimes when we're camping, and perhaps you do this too, there are various paths within the park that you can take with your children on. And you look at them and you see this one's 1.5 kilometers. You see this one is 5 kilometers and there's no loop to it. And so you're beginning to think, well, which one can we handle? Which one can the children go all the way on? Which one can we make it? That's what we like in spiritual life too. We wonder, will we be able to make it that far to the shore of eternity? Now, the path which God calls us is a path which He has compared as being in the sea and in the deep places where footsteps are not even yet known. God leads His people at times by a way that is contrary so that He may discover to them their remaining corruption, their remaining aversion to God's way, and may learn to submit to His way. Because His way is perfect. Maybe we will suffer a great loss in business. Maybe we'll have children that go astray. Maybe we don't have the inner victory over corruption and we have remaining temptation, remaining corruptions we had hoped to overcome. We find ourselves so weak, whatever may be the case in our life. The point is this. God leads us down a path often unknown to us and often contrary to our nature in order to teach us two things. More about ourselves and our sin and our resisting God's path. And the more of His glorious path and His perfect way in which He leads us. More about Himself, of His power, of His strength. And often, when we feel that the path we take is hard and difficult, and we take a step back, we shrink back instead of stepping forward by faith. It is only when we see and believe His way is perfect that we may go forward through the troop over the wall. You see, if God would bring upon us some affliction in His providence and try us, by nature, we tend to run the other way rather than submit. But the lesson He wants to teach us even tonight, and as we look to the months ahead, out of the strength He has given this morning, He wants us to go through the troop, leap over the wall. You remember, I trust, what Peter says to Jesus, that last meal they had together, and Jesus had, because no one else did it, taken the towel, girded Himself and the wash basin, and He kneels down beside every one of His disciples and begins to wash their feet. And Peter says, in essence, Lord, don't think You're going to wash my feet. Peter didn't like that path. It grated on his pride. Jesus, wash my feet? But Jesus said to Peter, what I do, thou knowest not, but you will know hereafter. Looking back, Peter then could understand why. He would need to become as a little child, become a servant, not a master. At that moment, he didn't understand, but in the way of God's perfect path, he could look back and see. And now, Peter could be a servant to others. And yet, when we do not have on the spectacles, the glasses of faith, We too are not able to understand and to see often that God's way is perfect. We see rather the obstacles upon our way as somehow God being against us. But when we may see with the spectacles of faith, then our confession will be with David. As for God, His way is perfect, and He makes my way, the personal way of my life, perfect. It is true when one arrives at glory. Looking back, one shall see with clarity of vision all that God has led them was by a straight path, a smooth path, wherein no man could err, though in their own estimation it seemed perhaps to be crooked, filled with trials, filled with difficulties, but it was His path, and it was perfect. It was just what they needed. But most often, while we are on the path, we do not have on the eyeglass of faith, so to speak, and we do not see that the way God leads us is indeed perfect. The reason is often because we do not look to His Word for the answer to the obstacle upon our path. And when we walk in the way of God's commandments, He says we shall be blessed. Solomon, the son of David, says over and over again, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them," that is, in the way of sinners, "refrain thy foot from their path. Then shall you understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Ponder the path of your feet, and let thy ways be established." David's prayer was that he might walk in the way of God's commands. For he says, "This is my delight." He knew that in the presence of God was everlasting fullness of joy. And therefore David commands his son with some of the last words that he spoke, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore and show thyself a man." In essence, he is saying, run through the troop, leap over the wall, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments, and His judgments and His testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And that's not only David's words to Solomon, but God Himself, when He comes to him in a dream and asks of him what you would desire. And Solomon says, "Wisdom, to go before this such great people." And God says to him, "And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." David understood God was leading him on a path that led to Himself. Though his path of life took many turns, though there were obstacles upon his way, though the path went contrary to his flesh and blood, yet it was a path his Father in heaven had ordained for him to walk in, ordered in all things. And he knew that God compassed his path, and when he would lay down, he knew that God was there. He knew that God was acquainted with all his ways. And so, child of God, you too are upon your path in your life. You perhaps have resisted this path of God. But when you come to the place of David, where you may by faith say, "His way is perfect," you may also say, "My path is perfect." Then what we have heard this morning, Isaiah 55, is of comfort. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Congregation, you must not turn from this path which God has set before you in His Word. He sets before unbelievers also tonight, those who do not know the light, have not yet seen the light, have not entered in through the narrow way. He is saying to you, enter in at the straight gate. Lest this be said of your path, what God says to Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand you in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Remember, Solomon says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There is only one path. One path that is perfect. And God leads His people by this path. And there is only one who has walked upon this path in utter perfection, who has never turned aside to the left or to the right. He suffered many things upon this path. He overcame many obstacles that lay before Him. He was tempted. He saw the way that was before Him would lead to death, even the death of the cross. But He didn't turn aside. He set His face as flint to Jerusalem. And consider the end of His path. He is seated at God's right hand. He rules over all the nations. Certainly, it was his trust in God that gave him to walk upon the path, though it was a path of suffering, of sorrow. Jesus submitted himself willingly, knowing his Father did not put upon him more than necessary or what he could bear. And by looking to him, dear friends, we too shall overcome the obstacles upon our path, and through God's strength and by His light, we will be delivered and overcome the troubles that are before us. We read in Revelation 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Amen. Gracious and merciful God, may we come to the place where we indeed may confess Thy way, my way, which Thou leadest me, is perfect. Lord, we do pray that Thou would give us strength and faith to see the path that Thou hast laid before us and to overcome those obstacles which Thou dost put upon our path, to refine us, to purify us, to cleanse us, that we may be made more like Christ. Go before us in these days and weeks to come, also tomorrow when we will also commemorate a day of thanksgiving. Bless us, we pray, in the hearing of Thy word. Forgive graciously all sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.